Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. We are back. We have no idea what happened, if it was a StreamYard glitch or something on our end, but I want to thank each of you for being back with us. We're going to continue on. The big question I had just asked, so Greg was talking about how there's sort of three possibilities that one would logically consider. And I guess I should say that the reason we're not talking about the family, and Greg, I want to get your thoughts on this. We've talked about a burglary gone wrong. We've talked about an abduction gone wrong. And then we've also talked about somebody who was just obsessed with Savannah or somebody else in the family that did this for some sort of recognition, retribution, anger, briefly. But I did want to touch on, because there is still a huge number of people that actually believe that the family is still involved, that particularly Annie Guthrie and her husband Tommaso, or that even Savannah. I mean, I still see it all over the place, that YouTube channels are running with it, that Savannah is involved and her husband and all these reasons, you know, to bring attention to her. And she had this throat surgery. It's unbelievable. What do you think, based on the fact that the local sheriff gave a written statement that they were clear?
Yeah, I'll go with the local sheriff. They know what's going on with the case. I mean, they know more than we know, for sure. At this point, I would take his word for this. I haven't seen anything, you know, from the Bureau one way or the other that would counter that or give any indication that they hadn't ruled out the family at this point. So, again, it makes for good conspiracy stuff, I guess, if that gets you clicks and whatnot. So people tend to spin off on these things and create all these elaborate conspiracies. But I'm back with you with the Occam's razor kind of approach. Typically, you know, the simplest and the most obvious solution is often the correct one. So I think we need to go down that road primarily and take a look. The other question you brought up was about these organized gangs. And there had been some, as you noted, who had targeted celebrities mostly for these burglary things going in when they were away and, you know, stealing their stuff. I mean, could it be that? Could it be that only for ransom? Did they decide to take Nancy, you know, for ransom? I mean, it could be, but I always enjoy, or I say I prefer multiple offenders in a crime, because typically somebody breaks away and gives it up and rolls. If it's just one person, then it's difficult. I mean, but the minute you get two or more, and it begins to close in, somebody will role to save themselves. And yeah, I mean, who knows, if there are multiple people, somebody may come forward and give up the body location hoping to pick up the $1 million. I mean, there could be any number of motivations that if there are multiple offenders, somebody would somebody would come forward to break loose on this thing.
You know, I know you've seen the pictures from the porch and the video, and what are your thoughts about this? You know, when you look at that, if that were your brother or your father or your son, wouldn't you be immediately able to identify him? Don't you think that know who this is?
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, if this were, you know, some weird cousin that came out of nowhere because he's pissed off or wants celebrity, or The family would know it. I mean, they would be able to identify it. That's why I don't think it's anyone in the family or close to the family, unless you want to wrap the whole family into the conspiracy thing. But then what's the point? pardon me. Yeah. No, if it were a family member or a friend of the family, I think it'd be easily identified, right away. And clearly that's not what has occurred. So I think we're back to this more or less stranger base, but not totally stranger. There's some pre-selection and victim targeting that went on here that this guy just didn't show up at this random house in a remote corner of Tucson, by accident. I think there's pre-planning and premeditation and it was victim targeted for sure.
You know, there's something very interesting that I'm still trying to get to the bottom to, and that was the people that installed these cameras. I just wondered, because of the proximus time of the camera installation, which purportedly she wanted to kind of watch wildlife and to see what was outside of her door, or, things like, they have those javelina hogs. And so it makes me wonder, just because of that proximity, if that isn't something the Bureau is looking into. I'm sure they are, because as you said, there's some insider information here. It just seems
right. No, exactly. And that's what I was talking about earlier about, the gardener, the landscaper, somebody that has some tangential relationship to her and the property that got cued in as to who this is, and then hatched this idea that, we may be able to pull something off here and get some notoriety, get some money, maybe, something rather stupid. But again, I think whoever's done this has been luckier than good. They've just gotten lucky along the way. If you look at that initial video of the guy approaching, he seemed to be surprised by the camera, and then he's getting plants or something, weeds, and trying to cover me. Is very amateurish and in that regard. But it's somebody that had some knowledge, but not a lot, I think, in approaching. And again, we don't even know, for example, the point of entry, at least that I know of, unless I missed that along the way. I mean, we see him at the door, and then we're not sure. Was it forced entry? Did she respond to the door and open it? And I mean, we just don't know.
Well, there's a couple of clues. So we know that the door wasn't tampered with. Mm-hmm. And we know that the time that she was far enough away from her watch that was on her nightstand was at 2:38. And we know that this camera was disconnected at 1:47 in the morning. Right. I'm just going to throw out sort of my thoughts. We also know a locksmith came and was working on a back door. And my thought, and I wanted to run this by you quickly, is that there's more than one, and that they entered from the back, the other person, and that the job of this guy was to remove that camera so that they could take her through the front, because they didn't want walk all the way around the back. This is a huge estate, actually, with a cabana house and a big area. There's all these other houses with cameras, and walk her through the front door, which was right near where a car could be in that circle drive. And we know the drive. Let's go clear to that point. What do you think of that idea? And I wanted to mention too, from what I see, is there's a square in his pocket, and I could see a little antenna coming up. That's how I view it. And that, I thought, is a two-way radio, one of our handhelds, a walkie-talkie. And maybe that's why the Bureau has not been able to utilize geofencing that we know of, because they haven't been able to come up with any suspects quickly, which geofencing is one of the best ways. What do you think about that possibility?
Well, that goes to, what we've been talking about, I think, is that someone had pre-selected this thing, and maybe, like you say, the locksmith or somebody had figured out a way in, again, because we don't know the point of entry, and we don't know exactly how that happened. I worked the a serial rape case where the offender would pre-target victims, go in the home during the day while the victim was gone, leave a door unlocked, jimmy a window so he comes back at night and had immediate entry. He also knew the layout of the home because he would be there during the daytime, know exactly where everything was. So when he went in at night, it was very efficient, went right in, knew where the victim would be and so forth. So you've got that kind of pre-offense behavior. And that may be what we're talking about when we're talking about this sort of a thing. Somebody was at the house, knew how to get in, would do that. And if they're, smart enough to, not have their cell phones with them and that sort of thing, and maybe just rely on HD handy talkie sort of stuff. Yeah, that could be, that could help explain, the bafflement that they have, they're dealing with is not being able to nail down any geofencing or anything like that.
Greg, what do you think of the possibility of it being one versus two, or does it directly correspond with whether this is a nut job that wants attention and wants to either get Savannah, it's the celebrities, or whether it's more the Occam's razor group of thugs goes in, gets this brilliant idea based on information from a locksmith or somebody else, and it goes south?
Yeah, if it's the lone nut job, again, I don't think the delusional guy is going to get somebody else to go along with him, in doing this thing. Not that many people think that's a good idea, to go along with that. But if it's the other, if we go down the other road, that it's more of a conspiratorial thing where they think they can get in and get her and get some money. And then it goes south because she dies on them. They see the video, they panic, they decide to cut their losses and just stop communication and disappear. I mean, that's the other possibility.
Greg, I want to ask you, in all your years and all the hundreds of cases you've worked, is there anyone that sort of reminds you of this case in any way? As we all know, victims being victimized in an abduction way from a stranger is almost unheard of. It's less than 10% in the crime stats. So have you ever seen anything kind of close?
Not exactly. I mean, I've had a couple of, the kidnap for ransom things where they look very good at the beginning and you find out later they just were lucky or early on. But nothing quite like this. This is unusual in that regard. So I haven't seen anything quite like this that's that baffling, and they've come up at least empty at this point. It's quite unusual. But again, I'm back to, I certainly agree with you that let's not get too complicated and too involved, a conspiracy thing. Let's keep it simple and go down that road till we have to eliminate that. Then we can begin to look at more complicated conspiratorial things. But those things just don't hold up very well over time. But, we'll see.
Let me ask a quick question about her book that you may not know of, but Savannah Guthrie wrote this book, and the overarching theme has to do with it's not too late, speaking from a God standpoint. It's not too late for you, and there's time sort of to come around. It's about, how God hasn't really forgotten anybody. But this is what there are some very specific things from her book and from the Silence of the Lambs movie, which I know you're very familiar with that movie, that were taken. And I just wanted to get your read on this. So one of the items that was said, and I'll do it verbatim, is Savannah said she's kind, faithful, loyal, spunky, clever, light, funny. Literally, she says all this. Loving, fiercely loving, sorry, kind, knowledgeable, talk to her and you will see, which the talk to her, as you probably know, is directly from the Silence of the Lambs movie, where the congressperson says to Hannibal Lecter, talk to her and you'll see, or not Hannibal Lecter, but to the Buffalo Bill, talk to her and you'll see. And then after that, Savannah says to the perpetrator, straight to the perpetrator, not talking to the audience, it's never too late. We believe in the essential good of everybody. Let this be your sign, talking about the $1 million. Please be the light in the dark. You are not lost or alone, which is from her book. Mm-hmm. What do you make of, you know, reading from a script, a lot of it? What do you make of this? Do you think that they think the perpetrator is somebody more well known?
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, that's, so they would be more well known in what regard? What do you think?
Known to the family. In other words, just showing some sort that BAU believes there's some sort of familiarity and they're talking in this way, or would they do that no matter what, hoping to seek somebody empathetic that might know who this is?
Yeah, I think it's more the let's not be judgmental with this guy. Let's not tell him, you know, we think he's an idiot or, you know, anything like that, to be, you know, painting the victim very empathetically and kindly and being non-judgmental with the offender, that it's not too late. It's sort of, yeah, you made a mistake, but this can all be forgiven and all be handled in you know, not being judgmental with the offender, not doing anything, especially if the guy was already angry or this is some delusional guy that you might push over the edge. You'd want to be careful that you didn't, you know, characterize him in some kind of a negative way. I mean, it's the same as, you know, you go in to talk to these guys, interview them. You know, you have to be non-judgmental to get them to open up to you and talk to you, even though what they've done is horrific. And, you know, we do have our own judgments about what they've done and who they are, but you can't communicate that. Otherwise, you'll shut them down. So, you know, I think it could be along that line.
Greg, do you think this will be solved?
It may take a while, and as long as the perseverance is the key. I mean, not everything gets solved, obviously. But I mentioned that case with a girl that had been raped. It went through 92 different suspects for over 2 years before we finally got the right one. So if they persevere, they don't give up on this thing, they may well solve it. But it's, you know, we've reached a point now where it's in the long haul. I thought initially this may get solved pretty quickly once that video came out. Somebody will know him. You know, it'll get resolved pretty quickly. But we're beyond that now at this point. So, if it's going to be solved, it's going to take a while, I think. But it's going to take that kind of perseverance, covering all these leads, looking, examining all these potential answers for this thing, and just staying on the case and running every lead, you know, down. It's just the only way to do it. It's not pretty. It's ugly. It's time consuming. You know, the way to think of this, too, is that kind of big picture. I draw an analogy sometimes between this kind of work and a jigsaw puzzle. But there's a big difference between the two. With a jigsaw puzzle, you buy it, and the solution is on the cover. You know what the picture looks like. And then it's just a question of putting the pieces together because you already know the solution. Well, the difference in criminal investigation is we don't know the solution. And we've got all kinds of pieces to the puzzle, most of which don't fit. They're not the answer. So it's laborious. You're sorting through a lot of things. It's like the glove, for example. It turns out to be a restaurant worker. Okay, fine. We've eliminated that. But that's one of those pieces that doesn't fit. And that's really what they're dealing with now, is sorting through all these pieces, most of which are not going to be productive. But it's a process of elimination, which is the long haul.
Laborious. I want to ask you really quickly, going back to the book, I know you haven't read her book, but no. In her book, she discusses how when they were young, they kidnapped each other. And there's a cousin involved. And instead of playing sort of cops and robbers or kick the can or some of the things that we all play, they actually kidnapped. And Nancy was involved in it. There was communication. And I have found that very interesting that they used, you know, one quote from her book, the overarching theme from her book, some of this. And again, not to get too down that road, because I agree with you. I'm an Occam's razor person, but I just couldn't ignore how many families, you know, play, let's kidnap people and talk to mom and work on things. Like, I mean, do you find that that could be important? In other words, somebody close like that, that at some point was close with the family and would even know that?
That's interesting. I was not aware of that. But again, that's one of those leads that would be run down. But again, we're back to the, if it's somebody known to the family or close to the family, I think that would, you know, it would have surfaced by now that somebody would have pointed to him as a suspect and, would have moved forward that way. But it's difficult to know. I do think that, at this point, the post-defense behavior, with this guy, he's panicked at this point, and we don't know what he's done with her, at this point. His normal life has been disrupted, whatever his normal life was before this. And people around him would know that, especially in the immediate aftermath, of the kidnapping, when he had taken her, made the demands, all this came about. And then especially once the video came out, I think that really would have been a stressor and a panic for him. And he definitely would have been totally disrupted from his daily life. I mean, initially he's got a victim, he's got to do something with her. All of that would have been totally consuming. So, looking at any suspect, you'd be looking for that kind of behavior, I think, that post-defense behavior.
So, Greg, in cases like this, where somebody was abducted and died or they killed them, do you think that they would have kept that person, say, an hour in a trunk to get them to the border to go into Mexico, especially if they're a U.S. citizen? It's easy. You don't even have to show anything. They're not going to search your car to go to Mexico. To come back is a little bit more difficult, but not if you're a USC. Do you think that huge desert that is right there, in other words, do bad guys usually go and get rid of a body as quickly as they can?
I think the key there is they go to areas they're comfortable and familiar with, because that's a high risk part of the crime. If you get caught with that body, that's the oh shit moment, right? I mean, it's over. So they go to places they're comfortable and familiar with, where, oh yeah, I know exactly where to go. I'm not going to be interrupted. I'm not going to be found. I may have a halfway legitimate reason to be there if I'm seen there, that sort of thing. So again, when people are under stress, they tend to do what they're familiar with and go to where they're familiar with. So, getting rid of a body is a high stress situation. So I think if you develop suspects, what areas are they comfortable and familiar with? And that would be the starting point to look for the body.
Greg, just a couple more questions, because I know we went way over with that glitch, hired. What chances do you think that this could be a hired job? In other words, really the person that has the issue, that's the stalker, that's the nut job, could have hired somebody to do this?
I think it's less likely. It wouldn't be my first idea, but again, all these things have to be considered and pursued. But if it's some delusional guy, he wants to do this. He he doesn't want to farm this out. He wants, it's this a personal thing for him, and he needs to do that. He needs to get the notoriety or whatever he's after. And I doubt he'd delegate that out.
Great. Well, I think we went through sort of all the thoughts and questions I had. I wanted to double check that list before I kept you go or let you go. Very respectful of your time.
Well, thank you.
Is there any other notions or case you want to share with us? Any cautions, cautionary tales to some people that may be going completely off the rails on this case and blaming others? What, any last thoughts?
Yeah. The kidnappings that I've been involved with always involve some kind of relationship with the victim. And it could be tangential. Let me give you a couple of examples. I mentioned the Sidney Riso case, president of Exxon International. The more we did the analysis of the communication with the offender, we said, this is a guy who has either prior law enforcement or security work, maybe in the private sector. Well, when we get the guy, he was a prior security guy for Exxon and helped design the anti-kidnap plan. So he knew what the plan was. He was also a former police officer who had been fired for excessive use of force. So that connection was there. He'd worked for Exxon, knew the kidnap plan, and that's why they targeted Sidney Riso of Exxon International versus anybody else. Another case I had that was kind of high profile way back in the day was the kidnapping of Edgar Bronfman Jr. Senior was the chairman of the board of Seagram's. So again, a very high profile individual. What happened was how they targeted him. Edgar Bronfman Jr. Apparently was gay, and a couple of guys met him in the gay bar and figured out who he was and thought, God, this guy's primed for, kidnap for ransom. And that turned out to be that contact when we solved the case. So it's that kind of thing I'm talking about, that there's some prior relationship here. It may not be, real close, but it could be one of these one-off things that I think we're looking at. Probably will be the answer at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful that whoever recognizes this guy, because as we discussed, no, it's not family, but I mean this guy's family, right?
Yeah.
This person knows who he is. And I can't tell you how many cases that it took a pissed off girlfriend.
Yeah.
Everything is roses and they can keep their mouth shut. And then the minute that person cheats on them, oh my gosh, I think it's this guy. That's how I really think this case is going to be solved.
Right. Yeah. That or family or friends into denial. It couldn't be this guy. We know him. I don't think he's capable of this. Yeah, it looks like him, acts like him. He's been weird lately, but he's just a weird guy. But I don't think it's him. And that's why they need to get over their denial and, make that call.
Great. Well, you've been a wealth of knowledge. I'm so upset about that glitch. I still don't understand it, but I think we worked through it. And okay. I appreciate you coming back on. Greg, sure. I'll see you soon, hopefully. All the best to you. Thank you again.
Be well. Take care.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Oh, Greg, I tell you, he's a mentor. Anybody in the FBI, everybody knows Greg McCrary, who was in the FBI. Certainly everybody who was in the behavioral science unit, that's what it was called, behavioral analysis. Anyone who was in academia, Dr. Gary Bricado, thinks the world of Greg McCrary. And it's because of his breadth of knowledge. Honestly, I could do a segment with him every day of every week and be totally thrilled with that, listening to his experiences And I really hope someday somebody does a book on him, because for that to be lost, you know, there's just so many people now that, I mean, my SWAT team leader from Houston, my beloved boss for 10 years and mentor who really brought me up in the Bureau, you know, the people around me that were my mentors, Marty Godfrey, another one of my mentors, brought in under Hoover, worked with Hoover, all his stories, everything, they're lost as time goes by. So every time I can get Greg on, I'm just so grateful to bring him to you all so you can hear his experience. And on Nancy Guthrie, I think where we kind of left it is, we both really believe in Occam's razor. Bad guys decide to go in, kidnap her. It goes to absolute hell. And they abort, and run. But certainly he didn't exclude, and it can't be excluded, the idea of a nut job that has an issue with either Savannah, one of the siblings, or with Nancy herself, mostly probably Savannah, that is like a Hinckley and Allen, or a Hinckley that loved Jodie Foster and thought, let's see, I'll kill the president. That might help me get into good graces with Jodie Foster. So, and seeks that aggrandizement and that control, even if it's just in social media, mainstream media. Look at how this person who's done this has controlled, in some sense, the entire true crime community worldwide are interested in this case. So anyway, I'll let you all go. I know I went way beyond what I normally do. You all are amazing. Thank you for being here. And I'm so sorry about the glitch. Neither of us really know why. I think it might've been a StreamYard. I noticed I had come out of the conversation and then went back into the conversation. I think that might've been it. Tomorrow, I want to talk, believe it or not, I want to talk more about this blood spatter, because I think I have a couple more answers there. And we're going to talk about some of the new developments too, but I've kept you all way too long. Until next time, everyone, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and all the missing. May justice be served.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.